irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch live here. Welcome, everyone, as you always are, every Friday, 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, in our beautiful Los Angeles studios here in Southern California. Hi, everybody. Nice to have you with me on the couch. As always, I have a great show for you today. And one of my favorite guests in the whole world is live in the studio with me. So I managed to score that before the holidays. Woohoo! So that's pretty cool. And I invite you all who are listening out there to, text your friends. Tell them to tune in. LATalkRadio.com. Channel 1. Come on, click on that. I don't want you to listen to my competitor next door on Channel 2. Because he's really good. No, just kidding. But anyway, guys. So, if you'd like to also email us, and I will tell you who my guest is momentarily, you can do so, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Or, of course, you can call in live if you have a question or comment at 323-203-0815, Los Angeles area code 323-203-0815. So let me just jump right in today. Did you guys see the movie La La Land? Yeah, everybody saw that, right? And, well, it's really sort of authentic. I mean, it really is the way things are in this particular neck of the world. And my guest today is a seasoned entertainment journalist who's been there, done that, and seen it all. And he's written a brand new book, which we're talking about today. It's called Doing Julia. Ah, Doing Julia. Yeah. So anyway, we're going to be talking about that. And he'll explain a little bit more about his book, why he wrote it. And we're going to get into such things as the number one topic here in Hollywood, of course, is the latest sexual assault charges against Dustin Hoffman this morning, and all the other folks. There's like five pages. If you go online, they're single-spaced. There's like five pages of Harvey's at the top, you know. And Matt Damon's come out and made a real interesting statement today about the difference between a little putt on the butt versus sexual assault. Oh, yeah, you'll like that one. Anyway, now everyone's Googling that. Oh, I can't wait. Kind of interesting. But anyway, without further ado, let me just introduce my guest. His name is John Corcoran Jr.
That's me.
And hi, John. How are you, buddy?
I'm wonderful. And you?
Pretty good.
Look at you. I've only known you for a couple of years, so
it's been a long time.
Well, it's been a while.
John and I worked a while back
in the circus. I was I passed out brochures. I believe you were a plate spinner. And that, it's a great talent. Unfortunately, it's not. You can't make a living at it. So you became a psychologist, and I great
did.
Admiration for you for that.
I wonder
wonderfully
why.
Successful career.
Thank
a lot
you,
of people
darling.
In show business end up with psychologists, needing them. You became one. I think it's fantastic. Congratulations
Thank you, darling.
To you.
Thank you so much. You see where we're going with this already,
guys?
Weird. You see what I'm doing? Anyway, we worked at the Financial News Network.
Yes.
Over 20 years ago.
Yeah, over 20 years ago. Well, you called me seasoned. A seasoned journalist, which
well,
is a really nice way not to say old.
No, I'm just reading your PR thing that
oh,
your
I said
PR
that?
Person
oh,
wrote.
I call myself seasoned, yeah.
I'm just reading what I... Hey, I'm just the messenger
Oh,
here.
Read the good parts. I got right. some good parts in there, too.
All right. Here I go.
Okay, can you introduce...
John Corcoran Jr. who junketed. Yeah, right. It doesn't have anything to do with opioids, by the way. But we'll talk about that as
or
well.
Or Chinese yachts.
Who junketed for 20-odd years while working as an on-air entertainment reporter and movie critic on television news in Washington, D.C., which was WJLA Boston, WNEV, and Hollywood, right here, KABC. He was also on KCAL. And today we're talking about his latest book, Doing Julia. It's the third book and first novel that you've written. John's couple of previous books are True Grits, hilarious stuff, loved
it,
and A Few Marbles Left.
Well, that was about television. They're both available at remainder tables near you. No longer in print, unfortunately. I had the bad luck with. I thought A Few Marbles Left was a good book.
It was a darn good book.
Yeah, I had the misfortune of getting it published on September 12th, 2001. So not a good day to bring out a book about the media. So it kind of disappeared, but it was a good book.
Wow.
I had a lot of comments and criticism about television news.
Yes.
And such.
That's one of those bad luck kind of things. You go, just my luck.
But I didn't feel sorry for myself because 3 days after the event, I got called by CNN who said, John, are you alive? I said, I believe so. And they said, well, good, because there was a John Corcoran on one of the planes. So,
oh, my God.
No way to feel sorry for myself about that. It was a terrible day. Terrible
you got
day.
That right, honey. That's right, exactly. But your book.
So this came out the day after Pearl Harbor Day.
Yeah, you're so weird. God. Now, listen, guys. This man has been called the funniest journalist in America.
By?
Those who he is paid to do so.
Yeah, I pay people to tell me I'm funny.
And you're also known as Grandpa.
Grandpa, I got five grandkids. Love them.
Gosh, you're
I'm
so
seasoned.
Lucky.
That's why I'm able to have grandkids.
Right.
Yeah. Seasoned
that's
Grandpa.
So cool. So, John, actually, you wrote me a few questions just to, just say here's some suggestions regarding your latest book, Doing Julia, John Corcoran Jr.
Available on Amazon.
That's it.
That's about it.
And we're going to tell you, just Google Amazon and type in Doing Julia, John Corcoran Jr. So, anyway, you wrote me. I'm not going to talk like you're not in the room here.
No, I'm still here.
Sorry.
I haven't run out yet.
Oh, I'm getting ready for that. But the first question he wrote that I, ask him, and I'm just going to read it out because I think it's appropriate.
I get this question a lot.
Who are you and what the hell are you doing in my studio?
I get lost a lot and I wander into strange studios. I think I got the right one today, but...
You did?
I did, yeah. Frequently, okay. I'll show up at all sorts of shows that have never heard of me. So they don't want me on the air as a guest, but that's all right. My feelings aren't hurt too bad.
Next.
No, I'm all right.
All right.
Okay,
so
let's get to the serious questions.
Let's do it.
The really important, let's sell the book kind of questions.
Okay, let's do it. Now, but
the book
by the
is
way,
flying off a bookshelf.
They're flying as we speak.
And they're picking them up and putting them back on. Go ahead.
So, okay, like I mentioned earlier, we've known each other for a few years.
Yeah.
I know you spent much of your career in TV as a critic and entertainment reporter.
That's right.
Including here in Los Angeles and all over the country and world, for that matter.
Yeah.
But what was it that made you decide to do this book? And I kind of know because I've kind of read
been dipping
it.
Into it.
But I've been nipping into your book. Is Doing Julia about your career in TV, basically?
Oh, Lord, no. Nobody would buy that. Oh, it's too boring. My career in TV and TV in general is not that exciting. And there are famous people who have books out about that. Go buy their book.
Okay.
But this is about an aspect that I don't think has been written about much. And it was written as a novel because, first of all, I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Second of all, I didn't want to get sued.
True.
Also, it gave me the opportunity to just take it into an area of, let's call it, hyper-reality.
Right.
And I also have to assure people it's not an autobiography. I'm not any of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's kind of wild. But it's the area of something called movie junkets.
Yes.
Now, movie junkets are, I'll tell you what they are.
Yes.
Because you were going to ask, I think that was the next question I wrote.
Yes, I was. Yes.
Movie junkets are where, and it's usually roughly the same people every weekend. Television and print fly into a city.
Yes, journalists.
Interview.
All the journalists get flown in.
That's
for free.
Right. For free. It's all on the arm, as they say.
Yeah.
And you get $100 a day or so for expenses. And what you do is then you stay in a nice suite.
Nice.
And you interview stars. And,
nice.
And television is usually about 3 to 5 minutes long.
Right.
Two cameras, one on them, one on you,
right.
and then you take it back, and you made it into a review, into a talk, an interview with them, into
right.
a special, whatever you want to do.
Right.
And the studios do that because it's, first of all, it gets the stars out there.
Right.
They don't have to fly around. They don't want to fly around the country and
no.
talk to them.
Right.
So everybody comes to them. And also it gets them lots of publicity, lots of opportunities to be heard and to promote the movie. I think it's very cost effective for them.
Yeah,
and
sure.
for junketeers, it's just a nice life.
Yes.
It's the best part of the business.
So tell me about what a typical day in the life of a junketeer.
Well, it's usually a weekend.
Okay.
And it'll run over. Maybe you go out on a Friday, come back on a Sunday night or a Monday morning. And you start, the first thing, I used to say, once my butt hit the seat in the airliner,
yeah.
I relaxed, I had nothing else to do,
yeah.
everybody told me what to do, where to go, all that sort of thing. You fly to the city, grab a cab to a suite at a hotel.
And you're representing the network stations.
I'm representing
you work
whoever
for.
I work for.
Okay,
say KCAL. I did a lot of junkets for KCAL. And
Los
I go
Angeles.
There and then check in.
Yes.
And get my junket tchotchkes. You usually get a couple of hats or a jacket or something
nice,
like that.
Nice.
It varies. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Usually, the worse the movie, the better the tchotchkes. But little toys, gimmicks, whatever, to remind you of the movie. And then you find out when you're doing the stars the next day when you're interviewing. That night is usually a screen. And you get in the best seats. With comedies, they love to have civilians there surrounding you and laughing.
Right.
And also, they call them demographics, I think. And then afterwards, you take it usually to a very nice restaurant.
Right.
And then me and my buddies, being troublemakers that we were,
yes.
hide ourselves to the hotel bar and drank.
There you go.
Say they closed it. But a lot of people go out and have more fun.
Yeah.
And tough job. Carry on.
Boy, what a tough job.
And you do that, and you spend. And in my case, I had four or five very good friends. As you say, I used to spend the weekends with my best friends from Cleveland, Boston, Massachusetts.
So
whatever.
These were all part of different networks,
different shows, different stations,
yeah.
et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to be really good friends with these people,
yeah.
and you end up having a good time. And,
that's cool.
Kind of split up. It's kind of like high school,
sure.
in a sense. It's
sounds
you
like
have
it.
Your little cliques, and you have. The drinkers and the non-drinkers and single and married, gays and straights. And, not that we don't interact and chat and everything, but you just have your little groups that run out and have... There's a lot of free time, let's put it that way.
That's cool.
And it was fun. Now, the next question... Here I am inverting myself.
Yes.
But some people say, well, how do you do that? I mean, you're doing
yes.
it. They're paying for all this stuff.
Right.
Doesn't it affect you? It didn't affect me. Oh. I can only speak for myself. Oh. And that's because, first of all, I was at a major station.
Yes.
And... if I gave a bad review, they're not going to be offended because they'll be back next week with another movie.
Right.
It didn't affect me, except the one thing it does tend to affect you is you meet some of these people. You like them.
Right.
Maybe you don't like their movie, but you like
right.
them.
Right.
They've done their best to do something. They spent a couple of years on something.
Right.
And it's difficult.
Sure it is.
When you know the human being.
Right.
To try and...
And their movie sucks.
And it sucks. Yeah. And you got to say it in a nice way.
Right. Exactly. So you say, hey, they have wonderful... They're great actors or actresses. Or,
yeah.
You know, blah, 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 blah. But this movie fell short a little bit. And You're not too cruel. I've seen you a lot.
You find ways around it. Found
right.
things to say. You say the lighting was sensational. I could see you during the entire movie. I've seen a lot of movies, and this certainly was one of them.
Yes.
Things like that, just to ease the... But sometimes they just flat out ask you,
right.
what did you think? And I said, okay, never mind.
Exactly. Never mind.
And they said, what do you want to talk about? I said, well, I don't, whatever you want.
Let's
but
talk
I'm,
about football.
Yeah,
ah,
yeah.
You know what's going on. So what, I know you've shared with me a lot of the strange situations you've had and some of the most bizarre people you've encountered. But what are some of the weirdest junkets that you've ever been on? Weirdest.
Weirdest,
like
yeah.
Weirdest.
Well, some of the movies were weird, but... To me, you don't remember the movie so much as or even the star sometimes
right.
as the location what happened. And the one that comes to my mind was in New York City, and it was supposed to be like a 3-day junket. It ended up 6.
Oh.
That's because a blizzard hit.
Oh, shoot.
So at one point, I remember being Dennis O'Leary, and Barbara and Sandra Bullock.
Right.
Who I love, who had flown in. I was like the only guy who'd stayed.
Right.
Because I didn't want to go back. I was having a good time.
Right.
And so it was very strange. And you walk out of the hotel. There was no traffic.
Right.
You had to glomp and try and find an open hotel. And the one thing was very terrifying. I won't lessen this as far as health. Oh, gee, everybody was just scared to death.
Sure.
There was a rumor that ran through the hotel for a while that they were running low on bourbon.
Oh, damn. That's
fortunately,
really tough.
Fortunately, it was a false rumor.
That's scary.
But that did scare
what
us.
What a one of the worst junkets you've ever been
good
on.
Good thing I got out of the junket circuit. My liver thanked me, wrote me a card. So thank you for
yeah, really.
And I don't drink much since. So
good for you. So it's the blizzard in New York.
It was that was the most
the film
that was
with
the
Sandra
that was the weirdest. Yeah,
yeah.
I met some weird people, some
ooh,
weird stars.
Let's get into that. So, what? Who are some of the? You know, you and I have talked about some of the meanest, nastiest, most difficult celebrities that you've interviewed. Who are some of the most difficult folks you've encountered?
Well, you know, I hate to name names. And
oh, come on,
and
let's
there's
just
one
do it.
That is at the top. I think my list and a lot of people's list. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I will not. Give his name, but I'll give you the initials. His name, the initials are Tommy Lee Jones, and he was what I say? What?
Yeah.
Tommy
yeah,
Lee Jones,
notorious.
For reasons unknown,
right?
Didn't like us. He didn't
no.
like anybody except no. sometimes attractive interviewers. Fared,
sure.
Seemed to fare better.
Sure.
But you'd talk afterwards. Say, was Tommy Lee mean to you too? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And I did have my vengeance once when he had a horrible cold. And did the junket anyway, unfortunately.
Yeah. But,
and I walked in,
yeah.
and he's barking like a seal. And I said, Tommy, how's your cough coming? He said, what do you care?
Yeah, real nice.
I said, well, we care. He said, no, you don't.
Right.
And
he just doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, so then we go on with the interview. And, it's like, and I got back, and I turned out they were rolling on the beginning of it, of the part where
great.
I was asking about that. So
cool.
I ran it on the air.
Sure.
Put it on the air. And
good for
I didn't
you.
Hear from him, but his publicist called.
Right.
And she said, credit to the publicist, she said, I'm trying.
Wow.
I'm trying.
Wow.
But I don't know why. He may be the sweetest guy on earth right now. He may have changed. I don't know. But back then, no question.
Mm-hmm.
Just the nasty. Most
actually,
of them, they put on a good face, even if they're
sure.
not nice people.
Right.
But there are some really nice people.
Yeah, there really are nice people.
Some you just... Well, I mentioned Sandra Bullock.
Oh,
she's at the top of everybody.
She's a sweetheart.
So.
Yeah.
Particularly when she started out, I asked her once the question that I ask all stars
mm-hmm.
when they break through. This
yeah.
was after, while you were sleeping, mm-hmm. I said, now that you're going to be a superstar, oh, no, I'm not going to. Nah, you're going to be a star based on this movie. I said, in a year from now, are you still going to be the sweet, wonderful self that you are? Will you be a bitch?
Right.
And she said, she got very serious. Most people laugh it off. She said, oh, no. I was raised. My parents raised me correctly.
Aww.
My father was in the service, and my mother was an opera singer, and they wouldn't put up with anything. Oh, I will be the... And it turned out to be true. And
aww,
it,
that's
so,
cute.
She's had some rough times.
Sure.
Married the wrong guy, but
yeah.
hopefully
hey.
It'll work out. And she is very well-liked, or was.
That's what I hear. She yeah. really... She's terrific. By the way, guys, in case you'd like to call in, if you have a question or comment... For my special guest today, John Corcoran, the author of his latest book, Doing Julia. It's actually a fictional novel.
It's a novel.
It's about the entertainment junketeers and their lives and traveling and various and assorted sundry characters who are hilarious.
Well, some people, actually, if I might just interrupt for a second.
Please
do. I know I'm chatting a lot, but...
It's quite all right.
You don't get paid by the word, so you're cool.
Yeah.
But I have, some people say, oh, is it autobiographical? What's your wife thinking?
Mm-hmm.
All this, oh my gosh, is that, did you do that? I said, no.
Yes.
And I finally came up with a list of things that happened in the book that did not happen with
good.
Me.
Good.
Okay? Can I read just a few
please
of them?
Please do. What did
find,
not happen?
I got them here on the list. I got a top 10 list, actually, of things characters do.
No, that you did not do.
That I did not do.
Okay, cool. Dottie's listening, right?
I hope so. I think our friends all over the world are
you
listening.
You better explain. You got some explaining.
I have never, not even once, put a drunken stunt goat out on the 16th floor ledge of a Manhattan hotel. Happened in the book. Didn't happen with
okay,
me. Never did
good,
that.
Thank you.
I've never used finger paints and Dom Perignon to seduce a beautiful woman. Not once have I done that. Didn't even try.
Okay.
I've never sped down the Los Angeles International flight line singing dirty show tunes in a Peugeot convertible. Not once.
Never?
Never did it.
Okay,
nope.
Good.
I've never switched specimen jars at a pre-op physical and then been diagnosed as 3 months pregnant. Not me. I've never stood... I don't want to read that one. But I like this one. Here we go.
Okay.
I have never, and this is a true story, I've never seen Marlon Brando in a gray muumuu grazing at an hors d'oeuvre table filled with wild boar meat and jumbo shrimp and then accidentally mistaken him for the Goodyear blimp. Not once have I done that, but it happens in the book. So that's
cool.
That's the
those
kind
are
of book
some
it is.
Really good ones. I love that.
Yeah, there's 10 of them at least.
Yeah.
I like to compare it to Catch-22 and MASH only without the talent. But Because I'm not an idiot. I wouldn't compare myself to those writers who are fantastic.
You're a fantastic. This is
I appreciate
funny.
That.
This is some funny shit. I mean,
I
love you, Ed, where you say your work, your book is a work of satirical fiction in
yes.
resemblance by any characters in it who are not already famous public figures to actual air-breathing living individuals is purely coincidental, accidental, and unintentional. And I think you covered your bouteille quite well. Because
yes,
see,
I did.
I'm reading this and I go, oh, I know who he's talking about.
Do not want to get sued.
Don't want to go there. But
oh,
this is funny.
Well,
it's hilarious.
Oh, you're so nice to say
no,
that.
No, it's funny stuff.
Well, it's, you know, I'll be honest with you. The other two books were published by Dell in one instance and a place called Bonus Books in the other. And this is self-published. I'd never self-published before.
Good for you.
The writing part is easy. The rest of it is just so hard.
Mm.
Getting it up there, getting the technology done, which I'm not good at, and then promoting it. My gosh, you're so kind. You're the first person who's had me on the air, and I will be forever in your debt.
Thank you.
Until I get on the Today Show. I knew Matt Lauer a long time ago,
trash.
And now he's gone. He can't help me.
I know.
Just,
what a bummer.
He's out of there.
Ooh.
Okay. He was at a station I was at, and they brought him in, him and another co-host, for about to do a morning yakker, a talk show.
Yeah.
They were there like 2 months, and they said they canceled it. So he's gone. So I said, oh, I'd never watched it. I don't know. But I figured those poor people, and I went down to the office to she'd already left, but Matt's sitting there packing away his stuff, and I said, oh, you know, that's not fair what they did to you. Don't keep your chin up.
Right.
Keep working. I'm sure someday you'll have your day in the sun. And I figured I'd never see him again. Well, he had his day in the sun. He also apparently had his day somewhere else.
Where the sun don't shine.
Number of days, yeah.
That's right, honey.
Matt apparently, and I'll say allegedly, was a bad
allegedly.
Boy.
Allegedly, yes, absolutely. So speaking about which, what do you think of all the claims coming out now from mostly women and men from experiencing sexual harassment? Remember when we had to say harassment on the radio? Remember
harassment.
That? Are you that old? I'm
I
that
know.
Old.
Are
we
you?
Used
are
to
you
have to pronounce
am,
it
so.
Harassment because harassment.
Oh, harass, yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
because
yeah.
the FCC
can't
was
do
weird
the
about
harassment. Yeah,
yeah right. Yeah. So even sexual assault, you know, so what are we looking at here? I mean, there's five pages of moguls now. So we've got, okay, of course, Harvey Weinstein, Richard Dreyfuss, Louis C.K., John Travolta, Kevin Spacey, Senator Al Franken. Bill O'Reilly, Matt Lauer, Charlie Sheen, George Takei. Oh, we know about George. Oh, I love George Takei, though, from Star Trek. Anyway, Nick Carter, et cetera, et cetera. And the latest today, of course, well, not today, but I mean for the last several days,
Dustin Hoffman. Yeah.
And then...
there's a local guy, too, named Steve Edwards, who was mentioned.
Oh, I know. Oh,
and
I love him.
I have never seen an outpouring of support for him
as
I've seen for Steve, including a letter written by Roy Firestone, who's been famous in the area, and it was absolutely a very, very sincere and honest defense, which brings me to my point. It's long overdue. I'm glad it's happening. It has to happen. It's been going on for so many years. It was sort of like a wink-wink thing. Just it went on and nobody said anything about it.
And
I'm sure it was
all,
a night.
Everybody
I've never been a woman, to my knowledge, but I'm sure for women
it's
absolute.
Yeah,
it's a nightmare. imagine... Anytime you're being interviewed by a man, that has to be a factor. It can knock you off your game in the interview, if nothing else.
So true.
Worrying about that. And it's just, it's plain, flat out wrong.
Yeah.
That said, I worry that it may become another blacklist.
Yeah.
Most of these guys, I suspect, are guilty as the day is long. But let's assume there's an innocent. Let's assume there's one guy who got railroaded by somebody who didn't like him and just wanted to get him out of it. Well, what happens to him? First of all, he loses his job. He'll never work in the business again.
Right.
He also loses his pay. And you may, you know, in the television and radio, you often have contracts in the last several years.
Right.
Well, if he's fired after, say, 3 months of that contract, he loses the next year and a quarter, which he would be guaranteed otherwise if he was fired.
Exactly.
But he's fired for the morals clause aspect. That's a day. That's a rant for another day. But,
no, it really is. No, it's true.
And I'm not saying, you know, it balances, this should stop the whole movement, the Me Too movement or anything, but I'm saying it's an issue that needs to be addressed. They need to be taken to the bars of justice.
Mm-hmm.
If only to assure that the wrong people are not being convicted.
Yep.
On the other hand, it's a great, it's long overdue. I think it'll help even up. It'll make life better for all of us. In a moral country that we allege to be here,
right.
It needs to be done. It's needed to be done for a long time.
Forever. Yeah. I mean, it's just not even only in the entertainment business.
Yeah, obviously,
this makes
yeah.
news, of course.
Show
but
business,
in every,
news, so on.
Every yeah. company, corporation, every situation, it's the old adage that I better not say anything because I'm going to get fired and I have to keep my job. And, men and women. Have been sexually harassed.
A lot of same-sex harassment, a lot of even women harassing men, heterosexual women.
Well, yeah.
That happens.
Sort of
never
happening.
Happened to me.
But
never happens.
Really?
But, never, not once.
No, I can't.
Not even. I had no one. They just said, I like you as a friend.
Ah. You and I used to work at the Financial News
Yes,
Network.
We did. I was an accountant, I
now,
believe.
Now, here's the thing. Let me just set this up.
All right.
When I'm hearing all these allegations, okay, I think to myself, there used to be a floor director you and I worked with.
Yeah.
And his first name initial started with a G.
Okay.
Okay. Remember him?
Vaguely.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so...
Listen, I'm lucky I remember where I was this morning.
he used to... I don't know where he is now, what he's doing, but anyway, I'm not going to, reveal that person. He used to... Every morning... the whole thing is like in Hollywood, Oh, hi, how are you? Hugging.
We are a huggy
we're
business.
We're a huggy business. Yeah. Okay, this guy... beyond hugged me. He would pull me close.
Mm.
And I, after the second time of this is creeping me out so much, I can't even believe it.
Yeah.
I literally had to push myself away from him. His hug was two hugs that happened were so creepy that I mean, we're talking body rubbing and,
That's not a hug.
No.
That's not a hug.
No.
That's a
sexual
assault.
I'm thinking to myself.
Yeah.
Okay. Where is this guy now? Probably retired, maybe.
Maybe.
I think he was older than I. And I'm just thinking, now, what if I came out, found him and came out and busted him? Because I know he continued on in the business. I know he was directing. And I wouldn't do that. Why? It's been there, done that, gone, boom.
It's tough. It's a major decision and I have incredible admiration for the women who have... who've come out and some say, oh well, they waited for so and so. Well, someone had to be first.
Well, exactly right.
And the others are standing up and
I know he did this to some of the other women too. Who after I said don't stay away.
How did I greet you? I think it was with a fishy handshake, well across the room.
Oh, you slapped me on the back or something.
Yeah, Hey, how you doing, buddy?
I was one of the
guys.
To see you. Always.
Yeah, you're one of the guys. That was it.
That's cool. I like that. I consider myself one of the guys there. And because I was only the few women. But anyway, Matt Damon's making waves late.
Yeah, what did Matt say? I didn't see that.
What do you think about this? Let me just say. Okay. I'm going to quote him right now.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck. There's some different things that Ben and Harvey have said as well. I'm just rolling through the script here. Okay, so this is what Matt said today. I think it's wonderful that women are feeling empowered to tell their stories, and it's totally necessary.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, that part so far so good.
I do believe there's a spectrum of behavior. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between patting someone on the butt and rape or child molestation, right?
And there's a lot of gradations between
that. That's what he said. I didn't say right. He said right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Both of these behaviors need to be confronted and eradicated without question, but they shouldn't be,
equally punished.
Equally punished.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm scrolling.
Yeah.
My eyes are going slowly this morning.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about that? Yes and yes.
Wow, that's difficult. Yes, obviously somebody, maybe a pat in the butt's a little much at times, but certainly a greeting hug, a little kiss on the cheek, innocent, not with a squeeze or something like that is just friendly, and that's show business activity.
Yes.
But I think we know when it's beyond that, and I think women know when it's beyond that, and I think the guy in most instances knows when it's beyond that. And let's let someone else decide when it's beyond that.
Yes.
But yeah, if somebody pats someone on the butt innocently, that's not worthy of being banned from the industry for good, for life, or losing all your severance pay or whatever.
But
if it's anything approaching, a grope, a grab, the hugs you described,
exactly.
out with them. I get no sympathy for those people. That's wrong.
Exactly.
And You know, there you
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
And some people say there, but for the grace of God. Well, it's not the grace of God.
Ah, yeah, exactly.
No, it's,
no,
Ill,
no,
be,
exactly.
it's ill behavior, and unfortunately, it's been tolerated too much.
Yeah. So, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Text message, question for John from a listener.
A listener. Oh, I know him or her.
A, period, listener. Okay. So do you think that most of these high-profile entertainers are going to pay off their accusers and not have any court proceedings? Question mark. Mm,
well, there's no doubt about it. Some already have. I believe Weinstein had paid off a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Or, excuse me, not him specifically, but the company.
Yes.
And that will be adjudicated in the court. So mm-hmm. Everybody's being mm-hmm. sued in that.
Right.
And I think some have, and some will continue to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure. I don't think anybody came out in this situation. I don't think a lot of the people who came out in this situation came out just for the money. I think they came out to have the person brought to the bar of justice, for
yes.
want of a better
yes.
term.
No, I hear you.
And
yeah.
hopefully they'll go through that. But, yeah, there it'll happen. I think it'll be some of that and some. You know, the old saying, there was a guy, and there was a saying in show business, and I know some people have gone through this, where they sent in a script, and so-and-so said, oh, I'm very interested in this, yak, 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 blah, blah, blah. And he came to realize that the guy was going to make the movie and not pay him for it.
Yeah.
So he said, so basically you're going to steal my movie, aren't you? And the guy I said, yeah, what are you going to do about it? He says, well, I deserve something. He says, okay, I'll give you a 3-picture deal. And
oh.
that's sort of like,
yeah,
then that's done. That
right.
was done.
Right.
They said, okay, this the first one's free.
Right.
And
that's how you do business sometimes.
Sometimes
exactly.
in the business. And,
right.
and maybe it's a better deal. It gets
yeah.
your head in the tent.
Sure.
The next thing you know, you've got a 3-picture deal. So,
sure.
But as far as this is concerned, this is really not the same equivalency, obviously. But
mm-hmm.
I think some people will say, well, keep your mouth shut and I got a good role for you. That's sort of how it happened, isn't it?
Right, exactly.
And that's not going to solve the problem. It ain't simple. I mean, there's no doubt. This is a very complex issue. And
it is.
Unfortunately, it would be nice if some of the actor producers weren't as talented as some of them were. That's for us, the viewers, the
yes.
home viewers.
Yes.
But as far as what's right or wrong, if a guy did it, that's it.
Yeah,
go
exactly.
away.
Go away.
Go away
exactly.
and don't darken our door again.
Right. And, you know, what I think's a really kind of interesting phenomenon, I think it's great, is one person says, this is so creepy and weird. And then another woman and another woman. And, yeah, his MO is Harvey's. Is come on up to the office or where I'm staying in my hotel. And, you know, he goes, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom. And then he comes out in his robe and goes, wow, what do you think of that? So,
yeah, that
you know,
is,
he's just, it just creeps me out totally. And
that is so bizarre. Most men don't do that.
No, I mean, absolutely.
It's so strange.
It's narcissistic and it's just.
I'll bet you could tell me what they were, you know, just psychologically what's wrong with them, but.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the narcissism and a sense of power. And some of these guys don't, you know, they don't feel good and strong enough about themselves. They have so much power over people. And that's probably some of their only way of getting any kind of, besides paying for it.
Well, there's the old saying that rape is not about sex, it's about power.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's related to that.
Absolutely.
Related to that, yeah.
It that's what it's about.
And when you take it out of that realm of, I just want to, you know, I want to get
right.
with you.
Right.
I want to be friendly. I want to, you know, let's have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not that at all. In that instance, when it's a dominant, powerful figure. Yeah. Okay. Good point.
Exactly. And I think a lot of women as well, with Harvey and a lot of other actors, producers, direct, everything like that. And, you know, it's a situation where, and in every industry.
Yeah.
Sometimes we go along with it because we think we need to do this in order to get a job.
Isn't that sad?
It's very sad.
Isn't that sad? And it really is true. I guess. Yeah. I can't. Because, let's face it, a lot of beautiful women come to California.
Yes, they do.
And not always the most talented get the breaks.
That's exactly right.
And so if it's there and it's a temptation, and in some instances, the rare instances where someone says, they don't mind.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
there are others, they came here to get in the business. That's the way it's done. That's so bad. That's just such a...
The casting couch is such a cliche, but it's real, and it's been going on for...
Since movies
films.
Began
exactly.
and before that, yeah.
Exactly.
That was a tradition
yeah.
back of the old moguls.
Yeah.
And it never got stopped. Everybody
yeah.
knew what was going on.
Yep.
And you know, Harvey was talked about. Even back when I was junketing, everybody knew Harvey was up to something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And others were rumored, but you never, you know, You know, people say, why don't you know more about it? And the answer was, I didn't care. Not. I mean, emotionally and mm-hmm. as a human, I did. But to me, I was about, and maybe this is why I didn't go as far as I would hope to, but I was about the work. I wanted to see what the movie was about and talk to them about it. And a classic example was when Whoopi Goldberg and Ted Danson were in a movie. I forget the name of it, but there were rumors, very strong rumors, in fact, proved to be true, I believe, that they were involved in an affair on the set.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Well, as things happened, there was a junket for it. There's a junket for almost any movie. And they decided to put them together.
Yes.
And, of course, you're wondering, can you ask them? Will they talk about it? So I didn't care. But still, I figured I had to.
Sure.
So I'm sitting outside waiting to go in, and one of the cameramen goes by and said, what's it like in there? He said, oh, you ought to see it. When people ask them about it, they pick up these paddles, and they're written on them. I said, next question.
Right.
Move on.
Right.
We're not answering. That sort of thing. I said, great. I said, do you have a Sharpie? And one of those writing pens. I said, yeah. I pull out my notebook, and I write something on my notebook in big letters.
Yeah.
So I go in there, and I conduct most of the interview about the movie and stuff like that. And at the end, and they saw it coming down the road, because I mean, there's just been a talk. I don't normally, but and they immediately hold up the paddles.
Mm-hmm.
I reach into my pocket. I pull out the notebook and says, I know, but I had to ask.
Right.
Well, God love them. They broke up in hysterics.
Yes.
They fell off the chairs.
Yeah.
And Ted Danson even said, keep rolling. I want to make sure you get a close-up on this. And he started directing the shot.
That's funny.
And,
yes.
You know, it was great. They saw it in the spirit that it was. And, of course, I never knew.
Yeah.
Until
yeah.
People Magazine or something like that came out with it.
Yes,
because, you know, it's their business.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's, you know, I shouldn't have been a showman, I guess, but that was my sense. I've never been a gossip monger in that sense.
No, but you were always great because you are funny and you do ask questions that are so different from a lot of the other junketeers. You always came up with something that was totally unexpected because you are funny, your wit, and you loved throwing them off. And, you know, the real star, the real celebrity, producer, director, the real person came out because they, again, they weren't expecting what you were going to ask them because they had, they're like, you know, they were next.
Oh, they started getting the same questions.
Here comes
the
guy from ABC.
Yeah. Well, that was to keep me awake, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Because it just, to me, it enlivened it. I was looking for a conversation. I was looking for a funny conversation.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite actors is Diane Wiest, who is a veteran character actress.
Yes.
Who's won 2 Academy Awards in Woody Allen movies.
Oh, yes.
Some reason I had her number.
Yes.
I could make her laugh
so
easily.
Cool.
And I would do it. I was cruel. I would just get her going.
Yeah.
And
it
must be her giggling.
That's the best.
But I loved her. She was a sweetheart. And also I got one time, I can't remember his name, but it was in a little jazz band, which he said, can I hype this? I said, no, I don't care. So when we're rolling, he says, oh, listen, I want to tell you Saturday night. Can I tell you about Saturday night when myself and my other jazz guys are playing down? So he says, no, you absolutely cannot tell me that this Saturday night you will be such and such jazz club starting at 9 o'clock.
Right.
So that's fun.
That's fun.
You know,
to do.
I mean, to me, and he laughed, he enjoyed it, and he appreciated it. So
exactly.
Because you want to be nice. Another, this is not a happy example, with Kenneth Branagh's bride, the lovely and talented, name's flipping away from me right now.
That's all right.
Anyway, she was Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
We were told in advance, as they sometimes tell you, do not ask her about her breakup with Kenneth Branagh.
Right,
So I didn't. I asked her regular questions.
Okay.
This whole thing, and she stood up and was taking a break, and I stood up, I was taking a microphone off, and I just leaned over, and I said, look, we were told not to ask you about that, and I didn't, and I won't, and it's none of my business. But I have to tell you, I'm very sorry to hear that.
Aww.
And she said, oh, you have no. It was like an opportunity for her to vent.
A therapy session. Yeah.
And she was very appreciative. And for all I know, she didn't think anybody cared.
Of course.
Nobody didn't mention it because they didn't care.
Right. They just
wanted to
get the
hype. But it was tearing her apart at the time. And happily, she's come through that and is doing very fine.
She
started as a humorist. I was a comedian.
She's
and
so
very,
good.
And immensely talented. Even if I can't, that's not on her. That's my brain that sometimes doesn't work all the time. I couldn't remember her name for a second.
Emma's amazing. I mean,
very
she's
talented.
So
lovely
talented.
Lady, lovely talent.
Speaking
she's
which,
fine.
Who are some of your favorite contemporary actors and actresses, and also you know some of your classics. I mean, we've mentioned you know, in terms of people, personalities. You were sharing with me how Sandra Bullock was the real deal.
Yeah, she is.
Person.
She's a sweetheart. She's the only time, the director of her movie came up to me, the line for another movie, and said, "What'd you think of Sandra?"
Isn't that cute?
Yeah, they care that.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, the usual suspects are up there. Tom Hanks is everything that everybody says he is.
Mm-hmm.
And Meg Ryan was very nice. Took her one or two interviews before she felt at ease. And after that, warm. You know what surprised me? Jerry Lewis. If you say Jerry Lewis is nasty, he can be nasty.
Yes.
But I knew he was edgy, prickly, so on. So, and it's prickly, folks. I said prickly. So I prepared very, very well, and I let him know early on with questions, and he appreciated that, and he was a delight. Gladys Knight was lovely, along with several of her pips. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I interviewed two of the Apollo 13 astronauts at separate occasions.
Yes.
They're down to Earth. No pun intended, but they're not. And you know who has really good interviews? Animals sometimes.
Ooh.
Lassie.
Yes. Lassie was good.
Lassie
sure.
didn't have a lot to say. Yeah. Benji was wonderful. Mm-hmm. Very upset with one of Clint Eastwood's orangutans. He tore my glasses off.
Yipes, not good.
So,
but you did bring bananas, so it helped.
I brought a banana, as a peace offering. Didn't work. And, you know, Howie Long, surprisingly, very nice.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, you'd think, because he's used to beating people up on the football field.
Right.
Couldn't have been nicer. And, you know, so it's a surprise. And then sometimes you break the ice. If you're scared of somebody, you break the ice. I used to walk Howard, Robert De Niro.
Mm-hmm.
My opening comment to him was, "Hey, Robert, how the hell are you?" He cracked up. Who says that to Robert De Niro?
Right, exactly.
How the hell am I?
What's up?
But that knocked down his defense.
It was, of course it did.
Not a good interview, but he was a nice guy. So
one of my girlfriends was working as a producer when the Raiders were in Los Angeles and playing out of the Coliseum, and I was up there in the press box, and she said, "Let's go. The male reporter's gone, so I got to go into the male locker room after the game." So, I mean, truly, I went in there with her. I was dying of embarrassment. I was, and speaking about Howie Long, that's why I brought that up. Yeah. I mean, he saw her and me coming, and we were standing in there, and kind of at the very beginning so we could run out if it got really weird. And he stood right next to me and dropped his towel right out of the shower. Just completely, I'm like, "Don't look, don't look, don't look." Funny story, but it was very uncomfortable, actually. It was not.
I can see
what,
how they do
thing.
That. That's the price they pay.
Well, they don't want women in the locker room,
I know.
I get that. But
I don't think half the time they don't want men in the locker room either. But
that's right.
They don't want sports reporters in the locker room, but they force them. So.
Well. Because your book is called Doing Julia, by the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest is John Corcoran, Jr. He's an amazing entertainer.
And I use the junior because my son is active in his own business, and I don't want him to be embarrassed by what his dad's doing, because he's in a totally different business and doing a great job.
Well, I understand.
So he's actually the third, but he goes by John.
Yes.
And I know Junior, so I'm Junior.
There you go.
And that confuses everybody.
And your pop was...
Yeah, so that's why I'm using that.
Okay,
I should probably say Cork.
Great.
Just go with Cork.
Cork, that's great. I love that. So you've junketed for 20-odd years, and on-air entertainment reporter.
Yep.
Washington, D.C., what network? That was CBS.
It was actually an ABC station in Washington. Yeah,
I started
out there. I got in there accidentally, and I ended up reviewing television. They saw what I thought of the new season, and they decided I should be a movie critic.
Cool,
so
right?
I was suddenly appointed a movie critic.
CBS
in Boston,
right,
yeah.
WNEV.
And here was ABC again, and also an independent, and KCAL.
KCAL.
A nationally syndicated show for a year that I was on, too. But
what was that called?
That was called World Peace. No, that wasn't it. What was it called? Not Tell Shop, not Boomer Boomer. What was it called? It was called Newscope.
There you go.
Newscope.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It had a year.
A good one. I remember that. You had the year, and it was a good one.
And it wasn't broadcast in L.A. That killed me.
I know.
Publicists
all right.
don't care if you're broadcast all over the country.
Hey, it was syndicated.
But if you're not in L.A.,
that's right.
You don't exist. So that was difficult.
You're so funny.
Sorry, inside baseball there.
That's right. No. So just wanted to ask you.
You want to ask what the title means, don't you? I know you do.
Who is Julia? I mean, what is Julia Roberts like?
It's Julia
doing
Roberts.
Doing Julia. I mean,
she's fine.
That's enticing.
Doing
Julia.
Julia, you have to get the book to find out.
No. I want to know right now.
No, I can't tell you. You'll tell other people. You'll tell your vast audience.
It's just it's just you and me right here.
All right. Okay. Just
having
you
a
and
private
me.
Talk.
Don't tell anybody else. If Julia Roberts is being interviewed, maybe she's not going to do everybody. Maybe she's going to do like half the visitors. So she's going to do maybe half of them. And when you get there, you see your buddy, and you wonder if he's going to do it. So you walk up and you say, "Are you doing Julia?" That's what it means. It
so
ain't dirty.
So are you interviewing Julia?
Exactly.
Today?
It means interviewing. And
sure.
It does not now, please don't tell everybody else. I'm hoping people will think it's smarmy and buy the book and be deceived into writing reading a comedy.
And
because
speaking,
I'm desperate and I'm shilling it. You'd be surprised how desperate you get. First-time novelist. What can you say?
This is great. It's hilarious.
But I do it because it beats housework. You know, it gives me something to do at home. I love it. I'm not going back in TV. I'm too old for TV. They won't let me back in TV because I have gray hairs and I'm addle-pated. No. I appreciate that.
Well,
yes,
no. I think you should go back on TV. But anyway, so how is Julia Roberts to interview?
She was very difficult first time.
Mm-hmm.
Not because she was being difficult, but because, I was nervous. It was a very serious movie. And I don't think she'd done a lot of it at that point.
Yeah.
Some people get better. Some people start out very rough. And they're not being nasty. They're just, they're not used to it. Other people, they haven't done it, and they don't believe critics. Because most people would say, I love your movie. It's the best movie ever made. And I did it with a guy. I won't tell you who it was because I can't remember his name. I can't remember it right now. But it was a movie that I saw and hadn't had any hype. And I just said, it's going to be this guy's going to get nominated.
Mm-hmm.
So I was one of the first people to name him. I said, you know, you're going to get nominated for this. Get out of here. Don't give me that stuff. People are always blowing smoke. I said, I don't usually blow smoke. You are that good. The movie's that good. It's Tom Cruise.
Right.
It's going to be a hit.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. No, you're full of soup. I happened to run into him later in the day, and he said, wow, everybody loves it.
That's
and
great.
And he got the Academy Award.
Oh, that's amazing.
So
that's really
good.
Cool. That's,
I wish I could remember his name.
It's a great story. You will.
Somebody famous.
As soon as we get off the air, you can
I'll think of it.
Oh, that's
I'll
who
write
it was.
Everybody and say, here, it was,
Or in the archives. By the way, folks, in case you missed a lot of this interview, you can, of course, check out the archives right here on my webpage on LA Talk Radio. It's just under Channel 1. There I am, Dr. Michelle. And you just pull up the archive. You can play or download the show. And all of my shows are also available on iTunes podcasts for free.
I like the price.
Yeah, I know that. It's on the couch and
all
the archives.
Listen to your show. I pick out lots of stuff about relationships, which, of course, doesn't affect me. But the advice you give people is very, I assume it's very good. It sure sounds like it.
Well,
and
thank you.
And certainly the emotion of their reactions and the seriousness of their issues. You think relationship, that's not a big deal. It's a huge deal, obviously, to people.
You know, it's true. You know, what's interesting is around the holidays especially.
Ooh, yeah.
It's people go, can I come in today? And I'm like, I'm here until 9 tonight. You know, try the veal.
Wow.
But no, it's like,
you serve veal, I'll be there. What time is my appointment?
I'm here on Thursdays. But the thing is that, you know, the days are booked up until Christmas because the main theme, talking about relationships, is how should I deal with my crazy family member who is my sibling, parent, father, mother, aunt, uncle, the drunk uncle, or what, you know, how should I, I'm going to reenact my old unresolved issues now, sitting at the Hanukkah table and sitting at the Christmas table and celebrating the new year with my crazy family. How should I deal with it? So this is the main theme right now and always is around, you know, the first of
any Christmas without a thrown drumstick just isn't really a party, I figure.
It's true.
Some of the people are going to get very it is. It's a high stress time.
It is.
They're not going to like the present you got. You got to go shopping and so-and-so's here. You don't want them there.
That's right.
And maybe we're breaking up with a girlfriend. And
that's right.
Anyway, that can be true. I understand that, and you're doing a wonderful service. I want you to know that.
Thank you so much.
A woman who once spun plates at the circus.
Thank you very much.
And was very good at it.
You and only you know that.
That's true. It's a secret.
It's a secret. So, anywho, how can people get your book, Doing Julia, John
Well,
Corcoran
as soon as
Jr.
I figure, I can tell you, I'm only making the buck on each one. It's not a high royalty rate. And it's like $9.95 in the paperback version.
Yeah, I've got
but
it right
it's,
here.
But it's Kindle edition will be, I think, $1.99. But I can't get the darn thing up on Kindle because I'm inept. And I'm going to work out. I have my kid over who knows computers.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll get it up on Kindle this week, and I promise.
Would you?
So you can get it for like $1.99. I don't
there
know what the price is on that, but I get a can of soup or something for each one that's sold there. But I'm not in it for the bit. I want people to read it. I want people to find out about the people who are telling them what movies to see. And it's an insane life. The people are not real in the book, but they're real to me because they're characters.
Yes, exactly.
And sometimes they just take over.
They do.
And novelists will tell you that. The characters will sometimes just take over.
That's right.
And do what they want, and you can't stop them. You just got to jot it down.
Right, that's right. We in the spiritual community call it channeling.
Channeling. That's
you're
about
channeling
right.
Some energy of somebody.
Songwriters do that, too. And it doesn't guarantee you've got Gershwin channeling his stuff.
That's right.
Could be a crappy songwriter who's channeling his songs to you, but nonetheless, I've had that happen to me, and a lot of people have.
That's right.
So that's why none of my songs are out there either.
John, thank you so much for being on
the show.
It's
a delight. Anytime you
always
want to come
here, great to have you, and
a
I'm so proud
to be
of
had.
You. You're a good friend, and
likewise.
Bless your heart. And I love this book. It's hilarious. Guys, if you need a laugh, we all need a laugh. Come on. We've all got to have that laugh therapy. We've all got to have it. This is such a funny book. I was cracking up through the whole thing. I'm putting it down, and I'm taking it, too much information. I'm taking it with me, you know, in different places, into the ladies' restroom during work.
Oh, no.
In between patients. I'm like, I got to read this chapter. It's hilarious. Thank you for being
here. That's quite an endorsement.
And it's true. Yes.
Michelle, it's so good, you'll take it to the loo. Dr. Michelle, I like that.
Thanks for being here, buddy.
My pleasure.
My pleasure, too. Come on down anytime, okay? All right, guys, thank you for listening on the couch. And next week, we'll be back with more great information about relationships. We're going to help you out with some of those things. So thanks for listening. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for other people. And that's the way it works in the world. You know, we got to survive, you see. Have a good one. Bye-bye now.